I am super excited to bring you the story of Matt Allen, the NFL New York Giants punter, and his game back in 2003 on January 5. 16 years ago, Matt Allen performed a play at the end of the game that he had practiced ever since Little Pee Wee League. But then he took the blame and was ostracized and blackballed and never allowed to play another down in the NFL. So proud to bring this story to you of redemption and just what a decision you can make to wallow in pity or move on and do great things in your life. And that's what Matt Allen is doing today. Hope you enjoy this episode of the Mike Cunningham Experience. Pass it along, because that's what he did. Hey, Matt Allen, thanks for joining us on the Mike Cunningham Experience podcast.
Mike, thanks for having me on. Hope all is well on your end.
Absolutely, man. Super excited. What are you up to? Where am I catching you at today?
You're catching me in Mobile, Alabama. I'm going to attend Troy's bowl game, the Dollar General Bowl, against Buffalo. So hoping for a big win here today.
There's two fellow Troy alums. I am jealous because I am not in Buffalo to catch the bowl game.
No, that's no problem, man. I hear that you've been to others. This is only my second bowl appearance for the Trojans, which is actually becoming a regularity. I mean, and that's good for the program. They're advancing the way a university should, and I'm
absolutely
proud of
them. Back from your days, you know, there's been a lot of advancement for Troy with obviously LSU victories and Nebraska victories, and we had some pretty good victories back in your day too, though.
That is for sure. And look, it should never be a surprise for the Trojan family that Troy shows up and beats a big 1A school. They're a part of it now, so I'm excited.
Absolutely.
For the
well, Matt, we've got a lot of things to uncover here. You've got an amazing story. Let's start with you are what people would call a less than one percenter. You made it to the NFL. No one makes it to the NFL. Talk to us about your career at Troy as a punter. How did you make it to the NFL, tryouts, combine, whatever? Tell us how you got there.
No problem, man. And, yeah, you're right. You know, when people actually make it, they don't stay in it long. You know, the average is really low, especially for special teamers, kickers. We're kind of a commodity that's just it's indispensable. So we're, you know, when I was coming up through Troy, I had the size and ability. I had people telling me early on in my career that, Matt, you have potential to play at the next level. And, you know, I just believed what they said and, you know, continued on in my development. And, you know, as I got to be a junior and senior, I began to believe it and it became real. And, you know, after four successful years at Troy, you know, the scouts started to come and work me out individually and started to gain that confidence. And, you know, it happened. I wasn't drafted. I was picked up as a free agent, which is understandable.
That's fairly common for a kicker, right?
It is, actually. Mm-hmm. Especially for me, I was at the 1AA level. Right. That's where Troy was. They were Troy State. And, you know, at that point, there was no high profile, you know, on me. Mm-hmm. You know, playing at the 1A level, you know, you're Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. You know, if you had played at that level, there was a much better chance of you getting – a draft pick, a higher 5, 6, or 7 round mm-hmm. draft pick. And, but I came in as a free agent, got picked up by Atlanta, which I to this day, am very grateful. That's where I started my NFL career. Mainly because of the special teams coach, Joe DeCamillis. He's still an active special teams coach. He's moved up, but he was the best. I learned from the best.
Awesome.
Dan Reeves was there. He held a high standard, and I learned from the best, and it was a great way to start. From there, spending two training camps with Atlanta Falcons, I was picked up by the Giants, and I started for one season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it ended in an odd way for me. I was, you know, it's been 16 years since I stepped off the last field. It was kind of, I'm still kind of a little bit shell-shocked how it all happened. So,
as you're listening to this, it's almost exactly 16 years, January 5th, 2003.
You're
That's
in a
right.
playoff game. You make it to the playoffs, so that's awesome. So not only are you in the NFL, you're on a playoff team, and you're playing the San Francisco 49ers. That is right. So the Giants that season, we were kind of up and down as far as a group. And, you know, in the month of December, though, we went undefeated.
Wow.
We beat the Eagles, who were in first place. We beat them at a dramatic finish at home at the Meadowlands. And that actually got us in. So we won at the last second
Wow.
to get in, to get that NFC wild card spot. We are in at Candlestick Park. Beautiful day. It was like 65 degrees that day. And, you know, it was a great day. I didn't feel the pressure of it being a playoff game. I actually had a great game here and there. But, you know, as the game progressed, it, you know, it got, you know, we lost a very large lead in one quarter. And the last play came down to
And
me.
so, like most NFL games, it comes down to the last few minutes. Take us through. You're actually, so you're the placeholder. We're kicking a field goal to
That's
win,
right.
right? Not,
This is to
yeah.
win. So we were down by, I believe, 1 point or 2 points. And so 6 seconds left. I get a snap. The snap is, well, you can describe it. A lot of different writers and people have described it as errant, wild, awful, unbelievably terrible. But whatever. The ball, was almost out of my holding range, and I had to kind of leave my sitting position to grab it. By the time I got it back down, the play was botched, so to speak. I mean, there was no chance for Matt Bryant to make an attempt.
Okay,
So
so it's a bad snap, and you had had problems all season with a snapper, right? Like you went through four or five different long snappers.
yeah, we started the season with one snapper. He went 8 games, was released. Another snapper took over. He didn't, you know, fit the mold. We ended up bringing in two or three guys, and then there was two other guys on the team that had snapping experience. So,
Wow.
yeah, by the end of the season, you know, the last snapper we brought in was a 20-year veteran who, but he had not played in 2 years. So,
Oh, okay. All right.
in that guy's defense, he snapped a perfect game to me the whole game. It just seemed there at the end. You know, the pressure of the game gets to certain people certain ways, and I believe he kind of rushed through that snap, and it just caused a wildfire of
And
events.
even if, you know, the pressure and stuff, he said, you know, he's a veteran. You know, sometimes, you know, we are human. Mistakes happen.
That's
Okay,
true.
so let's just call it a mistake. So a bad snap, it comes to you. You can't get the timing down for the kicker. So what happens in that play? What kind of jailbreak scenario is happening here? Because you still got a chance.
Look, so in that type of scenario, you don't want to make yourself look like a complete fool. So, you know, all eyes are on kickers anyway. Everybody thinks we're uncoordinated and we can't complete any other functions other than what we do. So, you know, your brain goes to the most, you know, recognizable reaction, which is what you practice day in, day out, every day for months. And so I made the decision to get up from my holding position, roll out to the right. We're on the left hash, roll out, and you call fire. And then eligible receivers, which are all linemen, are supposed to go. There's usually one, maybe two, that are allowed to go down the field. And you attempt, you know, to either score, get a first down, or hope for a penalty. In this case, you know, it was whatever I could get. At that point, I had 1 game experience where I rolled out and threw a pass, but it was not at the end. So, you know, the decision I made was roll out, throw a pass to an eligible receiver. He was interfered with, and that's kind of where it got political and
That's where the
in a you
story
know.
really begins. And little known secret, Matt, you were actually a fairly good high school quarterback yourself. This was not a punter who he's a punter because that's all you can do. You were an athletic person.
Well, I don't like to toot my own horn, but, you know, being 6'5" at a 2A high school level, you know, it wasn't that hard to compete and to excel. And, yeah, football was actually my my third sport. You
Oh,
know, basketball and
okay.
baseball were what I was focused on, and I excelled in those. And yeah, I played a little bit of high school football, and I kicked and had to play defense. We basically had an 18-man
Yeah,
roster,
2A,
so
right, yeah, small school.
so I had to do everything. So yeah, it the play was not unnatural to me.
Right.
I could throw. I was a big guy. I played baseball, so you know, the pass itself, albeit it was ugly, it was what they call a wounded duck
There you
pass.
go.
It actually went. They had actually ended up where it was supposed to, but you know, we didn't get the call. And you know, the NFL's lathered with plays where officiating just don't make the right call. They are human as
Right.
well, but this one, you know, prompted an NFL apology, which you know that you know NFL doesn't apologize
For
for
anything.
much, but for much of
Yeah.
anything. But there's two in the history of the NFL, and we got one of them. But
Wow.
you know what? Apologies don't really hold their merit after a
So the
game.
bad snap,
So.
you roll out, you see your receiver, you throw. Most people who would watch the film see an obvious pass interference. The refs blow it. They
Right.
don't call anything. So the game's over. Remember, this was 6 seconds to go. So all this took 6 seconds. Game's
Sure.
over. Giants lose, go home. 49ers go on. I don't even know how far the 49ers went that year. But
They ended, yeah.
how far did they go?
Now, well, they ended up facing the perennial NFL champions, Tampa Bay Bucks, that year, so they didn't make it
Yeah,
past the
got
next
them.
round, so.
But the Giants go home. It's the season
Yep, we
over.
do.
And then the next day, the NFL just they do the impossible. They apologize. They say, "Yeah, we blew it."
Sure.
So, okay, that's fine. Again, everybody makes mistakes. You made a mistake, but you made it to the NFL, so you've still got a career to go. But that didn't happen.
Yeah, so that didn't happen. And look, when that happened, and the negative media that ensued, and you know, not many people came to my defense. I do like to give props to Jesse Palmer. Yeah, and most of you guys know he's all over TV now. He's a sports analyst. He's on these cooking shows now. But you know, he was the only one that hugged me around the neck after and just, you know, told me that, you know, that was a pretty awesome heads up play, Matt. But after that, it was kind of like I was kind of a disease of some sort. And so, you know, I left town with no affirmation that I would ever play for the New York Giants again.
Oh.
I didn't technically have the best season, but little did I know, was the fact that I would not get, you know, a call even to come try out, as a first year guy with, I felt, you know, at the peak of my talent. You know, I wouldn't get a call for 7 months, and that next call came from the Patriots about 6 games left in the
Wow.
season. So at that point, you know, there was a nor'easter snowstorm that landed, and I decided, you know what, I'm just going to probably sit this one out.
Yeah.
I think I believe, you know, my career probably is over, but you know what, you know, life serves you lemons sometimes, but you got to roll with it. There's highs and lows. My career as an NFL player ended, and you know, my responsibility as a husband and father picked up. So
So walk us through again, when we make mistakes in life, we can own it. When somebody else makes a mistake, we can forgive. But the opportunity to not, this is what is so amazing to me in this is the blame and vitriol that you took. And you mentioned,
yeah.
as we talked earlier, yesterday about the New York media. I mean, you talk about the spotlight and the fandom there
Yeah.
is there. It boggles me that you wouldn't even get a chance at another NFL. How many was there? 31 punters, 31 teams essentially.
Yeah. That's
And then you're
right.
finally foot
And
in the door. How are you feeling when you're just not even getting a shot, not even getting an opportunity? Matt, before you answer that question, this is a great spot to put a little 30-second commercial in here. Pay the bills. Come right back after this 30-second break.
Well, the whole situation kind of left me shell shocked, and you know, you have an agent that's supposed to continue on as usual, try to get you know, set up for tryouts. But I think everybody was kind of shell shocked too, and I think everybody kind of looked at me as tainted goods, and they're just like, "Oh my gosh, you're like this guy was a part of one of the most controversial plays ever." maybe a lot. I think to a lot of coaches, it was a bonehead move, but you know, I'm always going to defend myself in a little way. I think part of me just, you know, I made a heads up play and gave my team a chance to, you know, get another play, get another opportunity to kick another field goal. But on the other end, I was expected to, you know, react as a veteran quarterback. You know, a lot of people had a lot of suggestions on what I should have done, none of which made any sense. Maybe wouldn't even have been legal or possibly could have happened.
Yeah,
So, you
I
know.
heard there was maybe the opportunity to spike the ball because this was a third down play.
So yeah, we without naming names, there was a broadcaster that immediately, in front of the whole world, you know, threw me under the bus about Matt should have got up, spiked the ball, and they would have had another chance to kick. Well, that's actually not allowed,
Oh,
in
okay.
that situation. So he, you know, that's funny because that sportscaster actually called me on my cell phone. I don't know how he got
Right.
it. Called me, left a message, and it was the weirdest apology ever. And I wouldn't think you'd put it in the category of apology. It was, you know what, Matt, I shouldn't have said you should have spiked it. What I actually meant to say was that you should have thrown it away and given your chance. So he basically made it worse.
Right.
And so I don't really have respect for that person. He's still actually broadcasting, but you know what? None of that stuff, bitterness, all that hatred, all that stuff doesn't help
Right.
as you move on, but that's on him.
Has anybody from the organization, and maybe they're not even part of the organization anymore, have they ever called that, like that sportscaster, they ever called you and said, you know what, I was really harsh on you, I was wrong? Has anybody ever? No.
No, there's no way. No, nothing. You know, I had ended up going to a few Giants games, and you know, I got some hellos from the equipment staff, and you know what? My counterpart at Troy, Lawrence Tynes, who actually had an amazing NFL career with two Super Bowls, was also a Troy Trojan. I got to go to a couple games, and you know, him winning the Super Bowl kind of gave me a sense of, hey man, I could let my situation die. You know, my counterpart here has kind of gone and done the best thing for the program and in his NFL career. So I kind of felt vindictive. You know, I felt that play can be forgotten now because my buddy succeeded in it. So.
That's interesting, Matt. That is a part of you as a person, your character, that it wasn't you, but it was someone that you're very good friends with, your college teammates, which, again, that's a whole rare thing that two college teammates would go on to play for an organization in different times and have very opposite spectrums of career, but that you are able to be happy for him and be happy for the organization in that sense. That's a lot of character. That speaks a volume about you.
Well, it was, I'm an emotional guy. I'm a passionate guy. I've always wanted to be a part of the winning team, and I never want it to be my fault. So, you know, for the program, as much as I, you know, didn't want to go for the Giants, you know, I had to. My blood brother
Right.
was playing in the same type situation, although they made it to the Super Bowl twice and won. You want a team to succeed, especially if there's someone you love on the team. So,
Do you have, as you look back now, again, 16 years, it's amazing how we blink and 16 years happen, by the way. Do you have ill will towards the NFL or the Giants at all about this?
no, you know, as you get older and I still love football and I still watch it a lot. I actually have my own sports podcast that I talk about things like this. You know, you understand the game even more and you mature in the way you react to it. And at this, you know, at my age now, I look back and, you know, all the things that happened made sense. Now, whether they're right or wrong is a different story, but it makes sense, the progression of what happened. It is a brutal business. You have to excel at a high level all the time, and there's just no room for mediocrity, is the way they would put it, or averageness. And look, that makes sense. There's a lot of money involved, a lot of pressure. I mean, so it makes sense why I never played again on paper, just because my average was at the lowest end. But you know, like I said, I understand it. I get it now. So no hard feelings. Good. No.
Yeah. And, you know, to keep on this time frame of where we are in January of 03, what an emotional roller coaster. So that happens. The game's over. You're out of the playoffs. What happens? So that's a low spot. What happens 3 weeks later? Sure. That was a high spot.
So, hey, man, this guy got hitched, got married to my beautiful bride of coming up on 16 wow. years, which you actually know my wife. You coached her at track.
That's
field,
right.
So,
yeah.
Yep. So got married 3 weeks later. And you know what, man? I honestly emotionally forgot about it for a long
yeah.
time. Because the lowest point in life is met with the highest. It just seemed like God had a plan. And look, we're resilient when we're younger. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let things get you down. I mean, I was 27, 28 years old. It was an easy transition getting married. Ended up then less than 2 years later, I had my first daughter. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of traveling you know, started a second career in the workforce, just like everybody mm-hmm. else. And that was hard. Because you know what you're capable of athletically, and you're like, surely there's another league that I could get in and continue this. But you know what? For punters at that time, there was not many other options. So I kind of felt that, you know, all these other professional teams have farm leagues or mm-hmm. B leagues or minor league teams, but not in the NFL, there is none. And so there is supposed to be, apparently there is a you know, platform in place now where there is going to be kind of a farm league now for the NFL. And I didn't have that. Otherwise I would have tried to stay in it, but it was kind of a cold separation and I had to move on.
Yeah. It is surprising with the amount of money and viewership NFL versus like the baseball and basketball and all those guys, all those organizations have farm leagues and D leagues and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It is interesting. There's no formal, nothing that has stuck with the NFL for a farm. It's been the college. Yeah. College is the farm league for NFL.
That's it. Yeah. If you're good enough and you get drafted, you get put in right there and you're, but at the time there was NFL Europe, but you know, that fizzled out.
Right. That is super interesting that about the low side of life with the game that happened. And then the timing of the marriage of the wedding, because then you go into just a super high and knowing your wife is, you know, she's an amazing person. So you go into this super high. I wonder if that maybe changed the course of your life and the positive that you were, it helped create that separation instead of wallowing around pity party. Woe is me. You had to go right into a wedding and then step up and be a husband.
Yeah. And no one, you know, really knows how to react. Just like I didn't know how to react in that play. I just acted mm-hmm. based off what I had done up to that point. And, you know, your character kicks in, your relationship with God mm-hmm. Kicks in, and you just have to trust that, you know, life is, you know, going to give you things like this, but you have to make the best of it and look forward to the great things. And look, that even is wisdom that's ahead. Even at age 41 now, you have to look for something that's right. better, even though you think there's a lot that's passed you by. But you know, opportunity, the one I'm most proud of course a marriage mm-hmm. and kids is the epic, but the peak, you know, 2 or 3 years later I had the opportunity to step out of my comfort zone and kind of volunteer as a like a volunteer minister at a startup church. And we had another local celebrity that needed someone, and I felt, you know, who other to minister to kids than someone that's played in the NFL. You know, in Alabama, you know, they're icons. Sports mm-hmm. people that make it to college are mm-hmm. icons. Even if you make it to the pros, it's even more grandeur for these kids. So I decided to, you know, commit to every, you know, Sunday to help build this church.
Awesome.
And, and minister to kids, you know, ages 5 to 12. And, you know, it's still been going on.
Wow.
It's been a growing thing. It started with 10 kids on a PE mat in a gym to a wonderful facility of averaging 90 kids per service, 2 services every Sunday. And that's what I'm most proud of. I hope that I'm able to make an impact, even with the little amount of football that I play.
Dude, that is maybe small coincidence, maybe no coincidence of what you're doing on Sunday versus what you thought you were going to be doing on Sundays.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly. Now, yeah, I'll say this, that, you know, the pay is a slightly different, But I'm just kidding.
But the payout is so significantly higher.
Payout, absolutely, and that's what I value the most. And you learn this as you grow up, man. Your relationships and who you impact for good matter for a lifetime. So
that is awesome. I tell you, that is a story of something that you are out of your control happens to you, and then you're at a decision point on how you let that affect your life, and you luckily, happily took the positive mark, and now you're affecting kids' lives like no other.
That's it.
That is.
And I can't take credit for that. You know, you and I both know there's a higher power that can change your life. And so I'm just honored to be able to be used.
That is awesome, man. Matt, again, your story is one of, it's hard to describe. You know, it's, again, it's on one hand to make a mistake or have a mistake happen, and then to never get a chance at again. So you can look back and woulda, coulda, shouldas all your life. And instead you have gone on to become an amazing husband, an awesome father, a great professional. What, you're in the banking industry?
Yeah, I'm coming up on 14 years in the financial sector. You know, it's not as glamorous, but it's been a solid employment through that. So, yeah, no complaints. I am looking for a change, though, so maybe something else will open
Absolutely.
up.
Absolutely. I'm surprised. Did you never consider getting into coaching?
You know, look, and this is a piece that we haven't talked about over the podcast, and that's, you know, as I began to volunteer as a minister, you know, I was a very introverted person. I was afraid of public speaking and doing anything like that. And I shied away from items like that or things like that. But, you know, as you grow older and you mature in that and you're always in front of people, you know, it changes what you want to do, and you really want to impact through public speaking. So I'm hoping I can do something along those lines.
I need to get you hooked up with, maybe you've read the book. Have you read the book called Lead for God's Sake?
I have not.
You got to go find it. Everybody who's listening right now, you got to go find this book by Todd Gongwer called Lead for God's Sake. It's about Christianity and what God has in your life. And it's told through the story of a basketball coach in Kentucky. You know what? Basketball to Kentucky is football to Alabama. It's an amazing, amazing story. In fact, I had the pleasure of getting to know Todd a little bit over this past week, and he's going to be a future guest as well. But there's something there with you, Matt, about your story, about how you could have fallen into a lot of traps and instead have now spun it to where you are affecting positivity in your family and positivity in lots of children in your area. That is a story that people need to hear, be inspired upon, and then go affect positivity in their lives with other people. So Matt, you mentioned earlier, let's talk about this podcast. Podcaster. What are you doing on your podcast?
All right. So about 2.5 years ago, my same really close friend, James Spann, who is very influential, public speaker here in the South, who happens to be, I say, the best meteorologist in the country. He approached me because he had a very successful podcast himself called Weather Brains. And let me tell you, this is not just a surface discussion about weather. This is so deep that most of us who don't know a lot about meteorology will probably go into a comatose. It's like, let me remove myself from this. This is way over my league. So this same person saw the development in me as, you know, at church as being a funny guy, an outgoing guy, and an influential speaker, and my knowledge of sports. And he's like, look, Matt, and we met at the studio basement one day, and he brought in another personality that had been doing radio. He's currently still does color for NASCAR. His name is Matt Coulter. Been there, done that. He's kind of the veteran to the radio. So he brought us in there, said, look, he felt that we had, you know, we could potentially have some chemistry. So we started the Matt and Matt podcast about 2.5 years ago, and we are on episode 133.
Wow.
We have recorded every Monday you know, since May of, I believe, 16.
Wow.
And we're we like the chemistry we have. We talk about mostly Southeastern Conference football. But look, in podcasts, you know, going down another wormhole, that's interesting. It's fun, and it's fresh, and it look, we try to incorporate being funny and silly on top of, you know, talking about a really obsession, which is college football in the South.
So, obsession is the right word. Absolutely. Yeah. So, Matt, we're listening right now on our iTunes, Spotify, heck, even Pandora now has podcasts. How do we find your show?
All right. So if you want to find the Matt and Matt podcast, you're simply going to go to, if you're on an Apple device, you're simply going to go to the Apple podcast app and type in the Matt and Matt show. Now, I found it easier if you type in the Matt and Matty, M-A-T-T-Y show. It actually comes up like number 5. I don't know why we call each other Matty. I don't know why the search does that, but the Matt and Matty show is on for your Apple devices. Now, if you want to listen through just your normal browser on the internet, that's twister.fm. And that is a, there's a list of about 5 podcasts, and the Matt and Matt show will show up on that for that platform. So, we are on others, but those are the two most popular at this point.
Absolutely, yeah. And you guys are obviously recording right now because we're in college football bowl season.
Yep, and we are. Yeah, we're going to take off for Christmas Eve. But, yeah, so but the full follow-up with a post-game analysis of the Alabama-Oklahoma game, which is, you know, I think for a lot of Alabama fans, we're kind of curious to see what a really mobile, good Heisman-winning quarterback is going to do to our defense.
Well, give us a prediction. Give us 3 game predictions, the first playoff game, the second playoff game, and then the championship game. Who you got?
All right. So as far as Alabama and Oklahoma, I am I'm thinking Alabama is going to win by 10 points.
That'll be a close game for them.
Yeah, I think it's going to go tight. I think it's going to go back and forth till the fourth quarter. Now, as far as Clemson, Notre Dame, I think you know, Notre Dame's going to have to play the game of the century to stop that offense, but I think Clemson's going to win by 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And then I think
that makes it Alabama and Clemson, what,
3.0, which is we're probably going to see this for a long time. It's going to be whether or not Georgia can beat Alabama in the SEC for a while, but I think Alabama beats Clemson. They're going to shut down Trevor Lawrence, and Bama will win by I think they'll win by 1 touchdown in that game.
Wow. So, man, that is awesome. It's going to be fun no matter whether you're right or wrong. These games are going to be fun, man.
They will be fun.
These are going to be fun. And I'll tell you what has been fun, not only watching your career while I was at Troy, being able to experience your NFL career that you did have, and now being able to share your story to others, man. I appreciate your openness and honesty and vulnerability. It was not an easy subject for you to discuss. I get it. It's very personal, but I tell you what, you are going to affect people's lives in a positive way by sharing this story. So thank you so much, Matt, for humbling me and joining me here on today's podcast.
Mike, it's my pleasure. Thank you for reaching out to me and allowed me this platform to talk about it. And hey, anything for another Trojan, and go Trojans.
Absolutely, baby. We'll beat Buffalo tonight. Have a good one, Matt. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
See ya.
What a great story. Again, so humbled that Matt Allen would join us here on the Mike Cunningham Experience podcast and just be so humble and vulnerable and open to us. Just so proud to be able to share that story with you. If you enjoyed this, would you rate and review? And you know what? Scratch that. Even more importantly, would you share this with someone that you know? Teach them how to listen to podcasts if they don't already. And if they do, just share it with them on your favorite app to listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, what have you. That would mean the absolute world to me. Join us next week as we bring you another episode of the Mike Cunningham Experience podcast.